I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Dive into the start of summer at Whole Foods Market. Check out their summer splash event with sales on fresh organic produce, organic strawberries, and a fan favorite sale on Ben & Jerry's and Talenti. Explore deals on grill-friendly meats like organic air-chilled chicken breast, beef and chicken kebabs, all with no antibiotics ever from our meat department. Plus, grab easy sides from prepared foods and cool off with refreshing drinks. Kick off your summer and shop in-store or online at Whole Foods Market today.
Call from Mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Grant and Danny on the Fan. Thank you for making the show part of your day. Means a lot to us. There's plenty of ways to check us out. We are live all over D.C. on 106.7. Right now, we are live in Richmond on AM 910, FM 105.1. Remember to listen on Odyssey, an always free app. Pause, rewind the show wherever you go. If you are on a computer somewhere right now or a smart device at home, throw us on your smart TV or bring up our YouTube stream. There's now video of our show on YouTube, which is cool. And remember that this is all made possible by our exclusive sponsor, the law firm of Condori and Murad. They will guide you and your family in the right direction, help you draft a will, set up a trust, create a medical power of attorney, schedule a free consultation with them and their crew at kmlawyers.com. Be sure to tell them we sent you to get a discount. That's kmlawyers.com. Trevor Sikkema of PFF joins us at the bottom of the hour in about 28 minutes. Coming up in just a few, I want to talk about this Adam Schefter report that the Commanders were never looking at Drake May with the number two pick, or certainly not over the last few weeks. I want to dive into that. But really quickly, this is important to me, and I know a lot of people in town. TJ Oshie today, who is an American-born hockey superstar of U.S. fame in Sochi, where he over and over again shot in a shootout.
One of the coolest sporting events I've ever seen.
It was amazing. That was before he became a Capital. At the time, he was just a little boy with the St. Louis Blues. He comes to the Caps. He's been the heart and soul of the team ever since. He is quite literally, and I don't mean this, Danny, in some figurative, silly sense, like he has given his body to this organization, laying out in front of pucks, basically being pushed off the ice at times because he can't skate or walk. He played through a broken hand as the team was being swept and eliminated the other night in Game 4. His back locks up on him so badly that he can't move. He can't lift up his kids. He can't get up to go to the bathroom. He's going in bottles. And it happened a few times this year where he would be out of the lineup for weeks on end, and he would get basically fixed by a doctor or someone who would, you know, get his back right, and then it would lock up again, or he'd take a hit, and it would be bad again. So he was asked today about his future at cleanout day with the Capitals after they were eliminated. And listen to what TJ Oshie said about the possibility of retirement.
In your mind, you're playing next year.
In my mind, I mean, it would be hard for me to ever for sure say that that I'm stepping away from the game. So, you know, I'd love to play next year, but it will need to be. I will need to come back. With somewhat of a guarantee that my back won't be, you know, it's hard putting everyone through this, the situation from my family at home to the team trying to figure out a lineup to young guys getting called up and going down. So I'd like to find an answer and a fix to the problem before I make another run at it.
I mean, he's missed a ton of games with injuries throughout his career. He plays so hard and he's so physically, and he's not that big. But there was a time where he would miss 12, 13 games over the course of the year. The last 4 years, it's more like 20 to 30 games. In stretches, 10 here, 12 there, 15 there, whatever it is. And this season, he missed 30 games, and the back was a major, major problem. But I don't know what you heard listening to that clip. Tariq El-Bashir asks him, in your mind, you're playing, and he basically says, I'm never going to tell you I'm not playing. I'm not going to say those words.
Yeah, I want to do it.
I'd prefer to play if I can get some guarantee that they can miraculously and magically heal my back. But at 37, he'll be 38 at the end of next year. To me, I hear that and I think we probably have seen TJ Oshie play his last game.
There's a great chance. It reminds me a lot of Ryan Zimmerman. And what people didn't know to the or the degree of this is the stuff that Zim had to do just to get back on the field and be himself. Because like when you're young, you show up, you weight, lift your weights or you exercise, do whatever, you stretch, you go play nine innings, it's fine. As the years went on, the injuries piled up, and then sort of that endless, meticulous, draining, pain in the butt stuff just to get back on the field, or in Oshie's case, ice, becomes so unfun and so miserable that it steals the joy away from playing to a degree. So there's no change in loving baseball in Zim's case or hockey in Oshie's case. The guy loves it. You can clearly tell. You have to peel him off the ice with a spatula. The deal is, though, in order to get to that point where you can be yourself, where you can play again, the mountain just keeps getting bigger and bigger and bigger with age.
Totally.
It becomes that hard.
25 goals four times, but I don't think that really tells the story. I go back to heart and soul. You know, he was – Ovechkin has been the captain. He wears the C. He's the greatest goal scorer to ever live. He's the guy in the prime of his career, especially. Obviously, Ovi was pointless in these four games and had just the five shots and really got shut down in the playoffs for the first time ever against the Rangers. But Ovi has been the automatic offense and the face of the program. And you wear the C when you're the guy that has led to an entire city falling in love with the sport and kids all over the city taking up hockey in a way that they never had before. TJ Oshie is the catalyst, the spark plug, the guy that, to use a hockey parlance, I guess, like, is dragging the boys into battle over and over and over again. And the way he plays, like, my mom watches every Caps game, is a huge Caps fan. She loves TJ Oshie. I don't think my mom's going to go scouting defensemen in Canada anytime soon and can point out who is better on their edges and skates well and whatever. Mm-hmm. But, like, she points to TJ Oshie and goes, that guy gives you everything he's got. And I think anyone who's ever watched the Caps or ever watched him, you see that, you respect that, you revere that. 77, if in fact this is his final game, hang it from the rafters next year. You know, it's that kind of impact, in my opinion, on this organization at the most critical juncture for this franchise when they won their Stanley Cup, which they don't win without him. You don't need to retire every sweater from that team. I'm not suggesting that. 8 and 19 are going to be up there. I think 77 of the rest is kind of next in line for me, with all apologies to the guy that won the Conn Smythe. Evgeny Kuznetsov and Alex Ovechkin were the two that competed for that. And Ovi ended up winning it, but I think Kuzi, in my mind, was kind of the best player on the run and was my Conn Smythe in a way. Wilson, heart and soul guy, will be the next captain, obviously. He'll carry the mantle forward post-Ovechkin. But there's only one Oshie. There's only one guy like that. You see it. How his teammates react, how they reacted to him playing his 1,000th game this year, which he wasn't sure he was going to get to because of the injuries, how they reacted, fighting back tears after the game when he got to score the game winner to push him into the playoffs, when his father tragically, passed away and lost his fight. Like, so many different benchmarks where you just see how much these guys love him. And I don't want to pretend like I know him well. I've interacted with him several times around town over the years. But you could just tell that everyone who does know him and is in his life, like, thinks the world of the guy.
I think it's incredibly well said. So if you look at sort of the points resume, because if you're trying to quantify that, 20th all-time in points behind guys like, Scott Stevens and Kevin Hatcher and Dave Christian and the like, the TJ Oshie isn't just the assist or isn't just the goal or isn't just the penalty shootout or the move here or there. This is the cliched thing, right? The same way that Scott McLuhan used to talk about, what do you want? I want football players. That's a hockey player. What do you need? What's the winning play in the moment? It's the blocked shot. It's finishing the check. It's the grind it out forecheck. It's hustling for a puck, to take away a potential icing. It's the body in front of the net. It's the guy in the bumper spot. It's the guy that makes the pass that maybe scores the goal as he did to send him to the postseason this year. It's what the team needs. This is a winning player. And his impact, I think, again, very well said by you, was always greater than, say, the point total or, you know, some of the minutes played. I mean, he's on the penalty kill as a guy that's such a gifted forward who could do so much offensively, just did everything possible to help the team win every time he puts a sweater on. That's a pretty big deal. And I think, folks, if you watch the Caps enough, you know who 77 is. You know what he's about. As you said, heart and soul of the team. I mean, obviously, the engine has always been Ovi, and it should be. A guy that's the leader that, early in his career, throwing his weight around, scoring goals, doing stuff we hadn't seen before, put it on the map here. That's your heart and soul. That's the guy that, before his body started to betray him, who's going to give me 100% tonight? Bet you 77 does, and that's kind of who he was, and that's the legacy, if indeed this is it.
Look, he may play next season. I hope whatever he wants, he deserves. These guys have given everything. And so I can look at it and go, at this point, with his body breaking down on him and the way that this thing has trended, you get a bunch of money cleared up and maybe you can go get goal scoring or whatever. And if Backstrom's off the books, long-term IR, and if Oshie's off the books, long-term IR, that's 17-18% of your salary cap right there, where they could pretty quickly add to the kids, to LaPierre and Mareshnichenko, and add some firepower with Ovechkin. And I mean, you could pretty quickly see them get a lot better offensively in one offseason. But at what cause? A cost, I guess. Like, to me, I want Oshie to go out on his own terms, whatever that is. If he wants to come back and try one more time, go for it, man. But I, after listening to that today, based on all the stuff I was hearing down the stretch, I think there's a very real possibility he steps away. And it's weird, because like with Backstrom, he's not retired. Because if he retires, Strasburg style, he doesn't really get his money.
Mm-hmm.
So it's basically this long-term IR situation where he doesn't play, which I think is more how it would go, maybe. I don't know. But it stinks, to see these guys' bodies. Backstrom first last year. Now Oshie, Ovi could be next at some point, although the Russian machine hasn't broken very often. But it happens.
Yeah, this is normal.
Father Time is undefeated, man.
This is the normal course of things. And it also makes me appreciate Ovechkin that much more.
Yeah.
Right? Where this and again, I don't be flippant about it. These sorts of things happen to gentlemen in their upper 30s that have played at the professional level for two decades. Your body might break down some. See every athlete ever. And here you have Ovechkin still, charging around like a wild bull that just seen red. But to Oshie specifically, this is about less than will, right? This isn't necessarily like a desire thing, because this is what I take out of the clip. I don't know about you. The desire is still there to play and compete and be part of it and come in and do
it. Let me say this really
quickly.
But
it isn't able to.
Because I don't think it was in the clip, although it's now been long enough that I kind of forget. Did he reference like how bad his back gets in that clip?
I mean, basically said it needs to be fixed.
No, okay, so there he actually acknowledged to the media today, like when his back is bad, when it goes, it like locks up. And we've seen this. If you watch these games, he literally is like doubled over and he needs to be helped off the ice and he can't like straighten his back. He literally has to lay on the ground and he goes to the bathroom like in a bottle. But that's not an exaggeration. Like he forget lifting up his kids. Like you can't do anything with your family until a doctor comes in and saves the day and gets your back to a point where you can straighten it again. Like how long do you want to be doing that too when you're in your late 30s? He's a year or two older than me. He's got four kids, one of whom is a couple years old, maybe not even 1 year old, I think. And his oldest girl, he's got beautiful girls, got two boys and two girls, I think. Maybe it's three girls, one boy, I'm not sure. I don't know who his fourth is. But his kids range between like one and I'd say eight or nine. So I don't know. Like it is bigger than hockey in a way, but I don't know that anybody's ever loved hockey more than him, if that makes sense. So I wouldn't want to have to make the decision. Let's go to Kevin in Arlington on G&D who wants to hop in real quick. What's up, Kev?
Hey, guys, just real fast. I've watched the Caps since their very first game up at MSG in 74, and I never owned a jersey until I owned TJ's with the Stanley Cup patch on it.
That's awesome.
And, to me, he was the missing ingredient. I was saying this to Ryan when he took my call. You guys are probably too young to remember, but the Bullets were a hell of a team in the 70s. and they get to the finals, but they couldn't get over the top. They had Unseld, they had Hayes, but they were missing one guy, and that was Bobby Dandridge, who became the beloved figure, the clutch guy, who, like TJ drew his teammates into the fight. Dandridge did the same thing. They're very rare, and in all of my years of watching team sports in Washington, which is over 50 years now, there's two guys that came, and eventually they brought the championship. One was Bobby Dandridge, and the other was TJ Oshie. And I feel for him. You know, I'm in my early 60s. TJ's in his late 30s. I've had the back procedures he's had. It's called a nerve ablation, okay? Mm. It's like the last thing you do before back surgery. It's a pain management technique. And let me tell you, it doesn't take all the pain away. I have no idea how he plays world-class hockey with
that. Dude, it's crazy.
It's nuts.
Well, but and he has the issues. And then for weeks, like, it's... And he's trying to figure it back out. How do I move? How do I get up? How do I stand? How do I go to the bathroom? And 2 weeks later, he's out there, you know, checking Artemi Panarin into the boards and scoring a game winner to send the Caps to the playoffs. So it is crazy and impressive. And I think that was perfect. He was the missing ingredient. They needed a couple more of those glue guys, mm-hmm. those do-everything, gritty-type players, and he provided that. And you know Blues fans are still kicking themselves all these years later in a hockey-starved city. That he got away in that deal. Was that Brower for Oshie?
That sounds right to me.
I think I'm right.
That sounds right.
But if that's
Brower's a good player too. Like he was good here.
Yeah, but that's a tough one. Troy Brower for TJ Oshie?
I mean, I'll take TJ Oshie. But Troy Brower was good here.
That worked out pretty well for
the
good
guys. But I'll take what we did. Yeah.
But I just wanted to give him his flowers. Mentioned earlier today, not that he's retiring, but without saying it, essentially, that he's got a lot to consider and that he wants to come back if he can get a clearance that I think is going to be hard to get. Like, his point is, I'll play again if I can figure out a way to make sure that my back's not a problem. Well, how are you going to do that? That's not coming. A doctor's going to tell you, hey, I can promise you your back's not going to be an issue. Bobby's an only. What's up, Bobby? How are you?
Hey, all right. How about you?
Good, buddy.
Doing well, thanks.
So I used to live in St. Louis for a while, and Oshie played for the Blues, and he was electric on the ice when he was with the Blues. Everybody loved him in town. And then I moved back to the DMV, and then I saw that Oshie was getting traded to the Caps, and I was really pumped about that because I knew that he was going to make all the difference in the world to the team.
So I think what he did, he asked to be traded to where you were going.
Very possible.
I think that's what happened. He's like, I think this dude's going to the DMV. I got to go, too.
I got to follow him.
Like, I want him to see someone that he likes, feels comfortable. No, I mean, it's...
They immediately, though, kind of morphed more into his style of playing that way. He has the physicality and the, you know, to me, it reminds me almost, this is going to sound weird, but like, you know, sometimes those little dogs think they're 175
yeah,
pounds.
Yeah, like the little dogs act big.
Exactly. Like, TJ Oshie plays like he's Tom Wilson size.
So the first time we met him, we did a show from Kettler, like, right at the beginning of their season, right? Like, their training camp was underway or whatever.
Back to back.
But do you remember the bit, like, the first time we met him, I was like, I don't know how to say this in a nice way. I thought you were enormous. Like, the way you play on ice is big. Like, he's my size. You're
a
looking dude.
He's 6 foot.
Yeah.
And he's probably, I don't know, 185 pounds or something. But yeah, he plays like he's a big dude.
Like, he's a part of that, you know, he could be a checking line guy. He could also be skilled up front, but he's not enormous.
And he can party, too. He gave you the
right
drink
through
the sweater.
Right through the shirt.
He was the first one, I think, to jump into the fountains with Ove. A lot of those memories are Oshie memories.
Little Oshies.
He was so hoarse and inebriated at the parade. Back to back.
I mean, he could barely talk. He's like, I got another one for you guys.
It's like,
you got one more for you guys.
It's like a Marty McFly. Like, I don't know why he's the guy I think of, but just
time
like
machine that you invented.
Like, young guy on stage. And he's just partying with a backwards hat.
1955. He's
like, I got one more I wanted to say. Back to back. Oh, I love TJ Oshie. So hopefully we get to see him again. But if not, just wanted to give him his flowers today. We did not get into the Schefter comments. We got a lot of time to do that.
We'll do it.
We are here until 6:30 tonight. Next, though, let's talk about this 9-player draft class with our pal Trevor Sikkema of PFF on G&D.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Dive into the start of summer at Whole Foods Market. Check out their Summer Splash event with sales on fresh organic produce, organic strawberries, and a fan favorite sale on Ben & Jerry's and Talenti. Explore deals on grill-friendly meats like organic air-chilled chicken breast, beef and chicken kebabs, all with no antibiotics ever from our meat department. Plus, grab easy sides from prepared foods and cool off with refreshing drinks. Kick off your summer and shop in-store or online at Whole Foods Market today.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
He's Danny. I'm Grant. This is The Fan. Normally, we tell you what we're wearing. Today, you know we mean it.
You can figure it out.
We're on video and everything. I got a black polo on. I got khaki shorts and black Kizik shoes.
I got
these are the guys I slip right into.
The Gene Chizik's. Yeah, I got the what's this? This is the Nationals cherry blossom t-shirts.
It's a cherry blossom standard issue,
right?
Giveaway tee. There.
I got these short pants on sale. I'm pretty excited about that.
What color are they?
You could say it's something like a merlot or a purple, maybe.
But no, you're not wearing purple.
But
pants.
It's not like purple. It's not like Vikings purple. Here we go.
Oh, yeah, you are. You've been doing a bit for a couple of weeks. We've been talking about behind the scenes where you wear a lot of weird colored pants. What happened? What changed?
Nothing.
You haven't worn, like, normal colored pants in a while.
So I don't know, man.
You've done, like, 9 different colors recently.
Well, what happened, the week that you're over talking about, if I can be frank, is the week that I tore a hole in one pair of jeans and the other two, one got soaking wet because of the rain, and the one was just dirty. I wore through them.
But you're kind of no-selling me a little bit. Yeah. Acknowledge that you've worn a lot of weird color pants.
No. First of all, it's not weird. Very reasonable. But what happened was I wore, like, pants, like slacks, to work a couple different times because I didn't have – it was cold.
Yeah.
And I had to wear pants. I couldn't just not wear pants.
Green
pants
are, like, you could either – report to serve overseas, or you could come in here. And now these are, I think, like a wine color is right.
Yeah, I was like a merlot.
I like that.
Maybe.
Let's not make our next guest wait. He's a very handsome man, very well dressed.
Great hair.
Trevor Sikkema of PFF, one of their lead draft analysts and experts over there, a guy we love talking ball with, joins us on Grant and Danny. Trevor, hope you've been well, man. And I know it was a busy week for you, so thanks for making a couple minutes for us. How are you?
Yeah, guys, I appreciate you having me on, as always.
You got it.
Yeah,
why don't we start with Daniels? I think when we had you on, it's been several weeks back, you were with me. You were a May guy, right?
Yes. Yeah, so, I did have Drake May as QB2 in this class. I did.
So, A, what do you make of the fact that they weren't even considering him, according to Schefter, that it was basically Daniels for weeks, and if they didn't take him for whatever reason, they would have taken McCarthy? And then, B, what do you make of the landing spot for him with Kingsbury and company?
Yeah, obviously, I don't agree with not considering May. You know, if you would have said, well, was Jaden Daniels or Caleb Williams your bust for them at number two, I would have gone, okay, well, you got a little bit of added mobility, maybe operating a Cliff Kingsbury offense a little bit better. It's kind of streamlined for the style that those two guys have. But to throw McCarthy in there and not consider May is head-scratching to me. I just, it's obviously not how I would have seen things. But with Daniels being the pick here, even though I like May more and I would have picked May at two, the styles do make sense. with him and offensive coordinator Cliff Kingsbury. Now, you don't want to get too carried away with pairing a draft pick with a coordinator, especially an offensive coordinator, right? Because we've seen what happens in the NFL. If you have one good season as a play caller, you're going to get hired as a head coach. So you don't want like everything to be in on that pairing. But now that it is going to happen for the 2024 season, I do like it. I mean, you look at what Jaden Daniels did this past year and why it was successful. The offense that that LSU had, it was a lot of deep vertical passing concepts outside the numbers. Well, I went back and I looked at it, and when you look at Cliff Kingsbury's head coaching tenure from 2019 to 2022 for the Arizona Cardinals, they were 23rd in the NFL in throws over the intermediate middle of the field, where Daniels does not have a lot of experience. He only had 30 attempts last year over the intermediate middle, which is 10 to 20 yards down the field in between the numbers. Some offenses are really predicated towards attacking that area of the field. Others are much more to the sideline. And with Kingsbury's data over that four-year span, it was just obvious that he would rather prefer setting up offenses and setting up space to attack vertically to the outside. It's exactly what Daniels does well. I think he has to continue to evolve to attack over the middle to really keep defenses honest. But in terms of a stylistic pairing, I get it. And with that being said, even though I would have had him rated below May, this was one of the better landing spots for Jaden Daniels, in my opinion. So I can't be, you know, disappointed or upset that this has happened, because instead I'm just really excited to see a talented player go to a good spot that I think is going to maximize what he does.
So Trevor, let's workshop this thing then. So, right, obviously you've already said that's not how you would have evaluated it, not considering Drake May there too. What does it tell you in your mind? Like, I kind of put yourself in their brain space where they go, we're deciding between Daniels and McCarthy. What does that mean they were looking for? Because obviously they both play quarterback, but there aren't a ton of commonalities in their games right there. What do you think they were looking for that they maybe saw in those guys and then didn't see in May? Put your thinking cap on.
Yeah, I can tell you exactly what they were thinking, because the common denominator to me between Jaden Daniels and J.J. McCarthy separating themselves from these other quarterbacks, specifically Drake May, is fundamentals. And when I look at Drake May, you know, you talk about some of the frustrating misses that he has on tape. A lot of times that can deal with the fact that, you know, he's got happy feet in the pocket. You know, he's obviously been a quarterback who throughout high school and his time at UNC, he's had the athletic ability to be able to escape when pressure is there. And you can just see him bouncing on his feet. And obviously being light on your feet is a good thing, but sometimes it can get a little bit erratic. And sometimes I'm watching Drake May and the footwork, it's almost like he's bouncing a little too much. Like he's shifting back and forth. And it's like, okay, hold on now. You set your base. You know, you want to be light on your feet, but you also want to be able to set your base and be able to start your throwing motion from your feet all the way up, and you want it to be repeatable. That is exactly what Jaden Daniels and J.J. McCarthy brought to the table first and foremost, right? You look at fundamentals before almost anything else, because before you can see exactly where the ball is going or exactly how fast it's getting out of your hand, you're noticing where are the feet? Are they pointed the right direction? Are the shoulders lined up with it? Is it a fluid motion? Are you throwing with more of your top half or your bottom half? And what does it look like for you stylistically and for your fundamentals of kind of what you've clearly been coached? And so when I look at Daniels to me had the best fundamentals of any quarterback in the class. I mean, I think people get bad stereotypes in their head and they think, oh yeah, rushing quarterback, you know, maybe he's got to learn how to throw a little bit better. Daniels is fantastic between the pocket. I mean, he has some of the most repeatable throwing motion traits of any of these quarterbacks. And I would say that McCarthy's probably second. So what they clearly prioritized, if it were really was between Daniels and McCarthy, is they wanted somebody who is fundamentally sound, who had a repeatable throwing motion. And anytime you can say that to an offensive coach or just any coach in general, they like it, because what coaches don't like to be is fooled or unknown, or just, you know, they just don't know what's coming next. That is a coach's nightmare. They want to be able to predict what is going to happen. And if you are unpredictable with it, well, then they get really nervous about putting you in certain situations. They know exactly what they're getting as a passer from a fundamental standpoint with Jaden Daniels. And I think they had faith in that. And that uncertainty that may have been there with May, I don't think existed with those other two. So that is, to me, the common denominator there.
Our guest is Trevor Sikkema. Grant and Danny here on The Fan. If you're that high on him as a passer, and a lot of people are, obviously, the tape's pretty good, then he's bust-proof for you, right? Or I mean, like, what are your – then you have to think he's going to be really good then, because the running can't be in question.
Well, I think when you look at Daniels, so I had him 21st overall on my big board. And I don't want to say that he's bust-proof. I mean, he does a lot of things well, but first and foremost, no prospect is bust-proof. It's the NFL draft. As much as we would like to talk about what these guys bring to the table, no prospect is bust-proof. I like the fit of where he is going, and so that's an easier projection for me there. But with Daniels, the areas that give me a little bit of concern, I think it's three areas. One, you talk about that rushing ability. I like the rushing ability that he has there, but he has to protect himself better. And I also think he has to gain weight to be able to take the hits that he's going to take at the NFL level. And you could say, well, quarterbacks, the rules are designed for them to not take hits. You're right. But if you're going to sit here and you're going to tell me you're going to utilize him on the run, guess what? He's going to take hits. He needs to certainly protect himself a lot better than he did at LSU. And I think that he knows that and everybody knows that. So I'm hoping that that gets better. But that is something that still has to get better for him to have that longevity and that continued success to stay durable, stay available, and stay healthy. Another area is, I mentioned before, throwing over the middle of the field. Even though Cliff Kingsbury's offense is predicated off of throws outside the numbers, which I think you will see a lot of, at the NFL level, if you cannot be a threat over the middle of the field, specifically, again, between that 10 to 20-yard range, you allow defenses to really start to crowd the sideline. And the sideline is, as they say, an extra defender in and of itself. So you make things a lot tougher on yourself when you allow safeties and linebackers to creep towards the sideline and not have to stay honest over the middle. To me, in order to really unlock what he can be and the threat he could be to a defense is, you have to be able to do those things. And then the last thing from Daniels is, and there is, this is a big reason why I had May rated ahead of him, is I think Daniels has an adequate arm for the NFL level. But I do think that his near perfect throwing motion and fundamentals maximize his arm talent. Now, I'm not trying to say that that's a bad thing, but at the NFL, there are those split second throws where you got to try to zip it in between two defenders in a football sized window. And I think that Daniels can do that somewhat, but I think that there are a lot of other quarterbacks at the NFL level who have more arm talent than he does, especially from a velocity standpoint. And when you don't have that superior arm talent, sometimes it's those split second throws and those split second decisions that can you really push the ball the way you need to. I think he's got an adequate arm, but I don't think it's on the level of a Caleb Williams, a Drake May, a J.J. McCarthy, a Michael Penix. I think it's a lot closer to more Bo Nix in that next tier of quarterbacks when you talk about guys in this class. So those are the three areas that if I were to say, okay, give me the reasons why Jaden wouldn't have success, it would be those three things that worry me from with him becoming that all-pro type of player that you draft at number two for him to become.
Trevor Sekhamut with us here on G&D. Let's go to their other picks. Johnny Newton, why didn't he go in the first round, and what did you make of that selection there at 36?
I mean, nitpicking, honestly, man. I think Johnny Newton's awesome. I don't think there's any way that he should have been available in the second round, and great on Washington to take a chance on him. You know, I know he had the foot injury, and people talked about that going into the draft, but, you know, it was a Jones fracture in his foot. And, you know, as far as I'm not a doctor, obviously, but as far as I've researched and everything, hey, you get the surgery, you rehab, you're good to go. And when I watched Johnny Newton and what he's been able to do on the field over the last 2 years, shoot, if they even said, hey, this guy was playing with this injury this past season, well, look what he was doing this past season. He was still a great football player, maybe not as impactful as he was the past year, but the injury kind of speaks to maybe why that was not the case. So I think you got an absolute stud in Johnny Newton. I think you got a long-term answer at interior defensive tackle, no matter what happens in the, you know, let's say, 3-4 year future with John Allen, with De'Ron Payne. This is somebody who can really impact your defensive line for the better, and he should not have been available in the second round. So Washington got a steal, in my opinion.
Trevor, are you buying what the Falcons are selling on Michael Penix as a stashed quarterback?
No, I'm not. And look, I'm not saying that there is no reality where this can work out. There is a reality where it can. But the number of realities, if you will, where it does not work out for you are far more numerous. Because, you know, you could sit here and say to yourself, well, look at what the Packers did. To me, it's different. Daniel Jeremiah made this point on NFL Network, and I completely agreed with him. When they drafted Aaron Rodgers and still had Brett Favre, Brett Favre had the equity within the franchise. He was a franchise legend. So Brett Favre struggled a little bit. They weren't clamoring for Aaron Rodgers right off the bat. The same thing when Rodgers had Jordan Love, right? He had equity in the franchise as a franchise legend. So he could fail. He could, you know, go through the ups and downs of a season and not get criticized for his job every turn. Kirk Cousins is coming into a brand new team, a brand new coaching staff, brand new everything. The second that Cousins has two bad games, guess what everybody's going to do? They're going to tell you to put Michael Penix out there, especially because you drafted him at number 8 overall, not in the 20s. You drafted him at 8. So you're going to get fans already that are pissed that you took that quarterback at number 8 that are going to be the first ones to say, hey, you drafted him in the top 10. Kirk Cousins has two bad games in a row. What are you doing? The season's on the line. Put the kid in. And I think that's incredibly unfair to Michael Penix. I think it's very unfair to Kirk Cousins. You can sit here and say all you want. Oh, my, come on. They got to toughen up. They're here to play the game. They get millions of dollars. I'm just letting you know what the situation is. You might not be wrong by saying that, but I'm just telling you the way that things are. And the Falcons cannot – I don't think just stick their head in the sand about all of that. So instead, I look at a situation in with Atlanta where by signing Cousins, you had the opportunity to really take that division by the horns, if you will. I know that Tampa brought a lot of guys back and they just won the division, but it's not like they ran away with the division last year. You just signed Kirk Cousins. You just poured all sorts of money in throughout the rest of the team. You got a new coaching staff everywhere. You're excited about it. This number 8 overall pick could have been a very useful player for you over the next 2 to 3 years. And Terry Fontenot said himself, hey, best case scenario, Michael Penix doesn't play for 4 or 5 years. Dude, you got to get more out of the number 8 overall pick than not playing in 4 to 5 years. And I think, again, it's just a dangerous game to play. The quarterback position, no question about it, is the most valuable one in sports, and there is a reality where it can be a home run for him. But unfortunately, there are too many other realities that are basically more plausible that this ends up playing out to be for the Falcons. So, no, I understand why they did it, but it's not the path that I would have chosen.
Trevor, good to catch up as always, man. Have a great rest of your week.
Appreciate it, guys. Anytime.
See you, dude.
Great having you on. Trevor Sikkema of PFF on G&D. Got a double play coming your way next, and then at the top of the hour, we will go blitzing. Remember, the coach at Illinois on the defensive side of the ball, D-line assistant defensive coordinator Terrence Jamison, who worked with Johnny Newton, is going to join us at 5 o'clock today right here on The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
It's the most anticipated WNBA season in history.
And you know what that means.
Court is back in session.
Welcome to Queens of the Court, an Odyssey original podcast.
I'm your girl, Cheryl Swoops.
And I'm Jordan Robinson. All WNBA season long, we'll be bringing you interviews with star athletes, analysis on your favorite teams,
and lots of hot takes.
Order, order in the court.
Follow and listen to Queens of the Court on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
We're Grant and Danny. It is time for a double play, driven to you by your local Washington area Honda dealers. Stop in for a great deal on the rugged and capable Honda Pilot. Contact your local Washington area Honda dealers today. The D-line coach and co-D coordinator at Illinois, Terrence Jamison, who coached Johnny Newton, joins us at 5, coming up at about 4:25. Got some audio from Micah Parsons about Dan Quinn's proclivities for dual-threat quarterbacks that I think is really interesting.
GP, The Jinx. Do you remember it? HBO documentary about Robert Durst. Do you have a file?
I do not.
It's about 10 years old. The Jinx Part 2 has just come out. This is jaw-dropping, oh-my-God television. So they do a great job of this very slow burn, kind of building things up. If you don't know the story, allegedly, I just want to make sure no one gets mad about anything. This guy named Robert Durst, a real estate mogul heir from New York City, who basically is worth hundreds of millions of dollars at various points, it's always kind of totally unclear, has had people die near him under mysterious circumstances multiple times over in his life. It was believed by some that his original wife back in the early 80s was killed, and it was by him, and she went missing. He moved, as a multimillionaire, to sort of escape the heat to a $300 a month boarding house in Texas, where this fairly recognizable socialite and mogul, like think of someone now that would be on TMZ who's like famous for being famous, like a Kardashian-style person that's never really accomplished anything, but everyone knows who they are. He was living as a woman named Dorothy with a wig and like a dress and pretended to be mute for years at a time to avoid any kind of circumstances. There was a neighbor of his who died, again, under various mysterious circumstances, and Durst admitted, at least at this time, his legal defense team, said, oh, this one was self-defense. So what did they do in self-defense? Mutilated, chopped up the body, and threw it in the Galveston Bay. Then a friend of his that supported him even throughout all of these things that are happening, there's all the mysterious stuff going on the entire time. A friend of his shows up dead. There's a letter to the misspelled Beverly Hills Police Department, misspelling the word Beverly, that the filmmakers, in a jaw-dropping moment, find the same spelling on another one of his letters, totally unrelated, right? They find this the way he spelled Beverly, L-E-Y, with the same handwriting that lets the Beverly Hills police know there's a dead body at this friend of his house, and it was her. He was eventually convicted of killing this person. There are other trials as well. So the story is like each moment of it is incredible. The coup de grace, the huge, most incredible jaw-dropping moment. He maintains his innocence throughout all this, of the original series and the documentary. This is now more than a decade old.
Are you about to spoil it? Or?
Well, absolutely. But this is well over a decade old. Part two is out now.
But are you going to spoil part two?
No.
Okay.
Yeah. Part one is, again, more than a decade old. Okay?
So I shouldn't watch it anymore.
You 100% should. It's incredible.
Even after you say what you're about to say?
100%.
Okay.
He is on a hot mic. They set this up throughout the season. On a hot mic multiple times, he kind of mutters to himself and sort of gives a running commentary or play-by-play of what's just happened. The hot mic at the end of episode 6.
But can I just watch it, though, or no?
Yes. The hot mic at the end of episode 6 is one of the most staggering, jaw-dropping moments in television history.
Okay.
That's where we pick up for the new season. We're 2 episodes in.
I'm a little steamed.
He sees this documentary play on television. He then goes, I better go on the run. He goes on the run, has to, like, a national task force trying to catch this old man who ends up getting picked up. He has millions of dollars available to him. He has $500 in his pocket, $37,000 in his car, and he gets picked up for shoplifting Band-Aids in Bethlehem, Pennsylvania. Every detail is so crazy and so insane. It's so jaw-dropping. It's unbelievable. But they do it. They do it so. They take their time. They talk to all these different people They let you decide for yourself, and boy, is it easy to decide. It's incredible.
Have you watched American Nightmare yet?
Yes.
Good. I will do this. I will watch
HBO, bro.
The Jinx. HBO. I thought you didn't have HBO.
No. No one ever understands this. I have HBO.
But you couldn't give me HBO, remember?
Because it's with my cable. I have HBO. Everyone's like, can you just do Max? Log into the Max, reverse
yeah,
Max, your passwords,
Max.
But do that. I have HBO. It's on my cable.
It's time for my double play. Took the kids to the playground today. There was a guy there, probably, I don't know, 60-some-year-old guy, flying a kite. Not like, go fly a kite because you're mad at someone. Like, no, actually flying a kite. really, really high up. I'm going to say the kite was, it probably wasn't a mile away, but it was really far away. I've never seen a kite higher up in the air, like more string being used for a kite than this guy was using. It's not a particularly windy day, Danny.
Okay.
It's just a random Tuesday.
Mm-hmm.
This guy's at a park by himself, behind a library, flying a kite. And he was the best kite flyer I've ever seen in my life. I'm going to guess this thing was several hundred feet in the air.
No.
I'm telling you.
Is there enough string for several hundred feet?
That was the other funny part. The string this guy was using was like a barrel that he was somehow holding in front of him.
You're getting a lot of slack.
I don't know what his deal is. Are you trying to like bump into airplanes? Are you trying to catch the string in a propeller? Like, what is your goal exactly, sir? So I guess my observations were threefold. One, I want to get to a point in my life at some point where I wake up in the morning and go, I'm going to go fly a kite today. I just feel like that guy probably has less anxiety, stress, tension than I do. He's probably healthier than I am.
Mm.
Probably doesn't feel like awful in the pit of his stomach every hour of every day. So I like what he's got going on. I like the cut of his jib. That's number one. Number two, the amount of string was unbelievable. I don't know how high kites are supposed to be.
I feel like that's too high.
This thing was so far away. Like, it was across a field above trees. And I'm like, all right, so that's someone else's kite. So where's his? I'm over-talking about this guy's kite. It was insane. And then the third part is, I want to go back to the string for the third part.
Okay.
There was so much string.
Yeah.
Like, what is this guy doing?
Like, every kite I've ever seen, it's like you get it up there 50 feet. And that's the end of the game.
It was unbelievable. Right? Like, an airplane where I'm flying to spring training with Danny and Darius and Ryan and Toby would not bump into this. Bump in is a weird way to say it. It would not fly through the string or the kite. However, one of those little, like...
Yeah, the little lawnmower planes? Little
planes that people, like, crash all the time. And I was like, hey, you want to come up in my plane? And I'm like, absolutely not. Those planes?
Right.
Like, you just see, like, the smoke behind on, like, a Saturday.
Yeah, I've done that.
Like,
I did that
hey,
one
I'll
time.
Hey, I'll do your gender reveal. I got a plane. Like, no, thank you.
Nope.
Whatever those are, the kite easily could have taken one of those down today.
So
it was too far up. It was bad.
Is it the kite that Alfred was referring to? Hey, Master Bright, I'll push your Skyhook. That'll get about there. Remember talking about where they got Lau out of Hong Kong, where they used Operation Skyhook with the smugglers? Coming in low, and it shot out of the building, and they picked him up that way.
I remember the scene. I don't remember a kite involved, but I remember the scene.
Because it was like they had to throw a balloon up there, so the smugglers flying a plane, like in a city, knew where to go. They clipped it, and Batman strapped Lau to his tummy, and then they ziplined right up there.
Yes. I don't know where to go with that, but yes.
Yeah.
It was a lot like
that. I know the squealer's hard. He's a squealer.
He just wanted to do your impression.
Yeah.
So just rip it off one more time.
Dive into the start of summer at Whole Foods Market. Check out their summer splash event with sales on fresh organic produce, organic strawberries, and a fan favorite sale on Ben & Jerry's and Talenti. Explore deals on grill-friendly meats like organic air-chilled chicken breast, beef and chicken kebabs, all with no antibiotics ever from our meat department. Plus, grab easy sides from prepared foods and cool off with refreshing drinks. Kick off your summer and shop in store or online at Whole Foods Market today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's the most anticipated WNBA season in history.
And you know what that means.
Court is back in session.
Welcome to Queens of the Court, an Odyssey original podcast.
I'm your girl,
Cheryl Swoops.
And I'm Jordan Robinson. All WNBA season long, we'll be bringing you interviews with star athletes, analysis on your favorite teams,
and lots of hot takes.
Order, order in the court.
Follow and listen to Queens of the Court on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.